Yeah, we're rolling. Yeah.
Yeah, man. This is the Freedom Fiend.
Yeah. Just
broadcasting from Pod Bay Sit and Stay?
While we still can.
80, some mileage above sea level at Intergalactic Canine Studio.
Yeah.
We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Hey, I got through more of it than I have in a while. What's up, Michael?
Hey, hey.
We're back.
Well, I don't know. We're on the radio while we still can before we get thrown down the memory hole. Yeah. I don't know if today's show is going to be called, what'd you say? Darn the man. Darn the man. Yes. Meaning
darn
like
the man.
You know, the man's always trying to keep you down. Or more specifically, what did I say? The what of 18? What was the thing? The purge. The purge of 18.
Oh, the purge of 2018.
Yeah, there was another phrase for it, though.
I forget.
The genocide. The liberty genocide. You know, people talk about there's a white genocide. Yeah. There's a liberty genocide. It's not all white people. It's anybody who's... the slaughter of 18. So, Facebook took a bunch of stuff down. They took a bunch of our toys away. So, and this made major news. This was like in the LA Times, in the USA Today. All the liberals are cheering it, you know, because they hate free speech. All the leftists, at least. You know, liberals used to like free speech. I remember, like, you know, a really dire example was the Jewish lawyers at the ACLU back in the day fought for some Nazis' right to march in the street. That ain't happening anymore. But
no.
Yeah. And, you know, like to take it non-Jewish, just, you know, just political, like leftists used to liberals used to say in the 60s things like, I may not agree with you, sir, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it. And that some of them meant it, you know, and some of them still do, like Glenn Greenwald still does. But yeah, man, there's people like laughing at us who got stuff taken down. Punk Rock Libertarians was one of the pages. I'm an admin. I was an admin on there. I was posting one thing a day and it had 195,000 followers. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a number of pages. I think only one of the ones I was connected to went down.
What was it?
It was a smaller page. I think it was called No Consent for the Governed, the Liberty Principle. That's what it was.
Yeah,
it was a friend of mine who had asked me to help out a while back, and I didn't do anything with it anymore because I haven't really been using Facebook other than to post my vlogs and stuff that I've been doing while I've been out on the road. So I haven't really been involved in the pages and stuff. But my page is still there. Seeds of Liberty. No
yeah.
Problem.
How many followers you got?
Oh, we only have like 13,000 or
yeah,
13,500,
I think
something like
I think
that.
Punk Rock Libertarians had the lowest number of followers of any of the pages taken down. Let me read through the list.
There might have been. I don't know, the one list that you had out, that it might have been the lowest on that. I've seen a bunch of those lists thrown around. The thing is, and this is what I mean, it's unfortunate, but I don't know. My skeptical mind is looking at it, and I see a lot of people freaking out and thinking, like, this is obviously the libertarians and anarchists are all being purged from social media. However, if you see a lot of, like, there's a lot of these lists that have been thrown around, and most of them are screenshots from people's notifications because they all got notified at the same time that all these pages went down. Now, why did all of these people get these notifications all at the same time? Because they're all admins of all these pages. There's so many of these pages are all connected by a smaller group of people that all share admin duties on all these pages. And I really believe that the way Facebook went after these wasn't necessarily that it picked on anarchists and libertarians or even independent
and conservatives.
And conservatives or independent journalists in general. It was more so they found a way to go after people who use fake names or sock accounts, because they've warned about that multiple times. You're supposed, you know, anytime you have an issue, Facebook will often ask you to verify your identity. Sometimes they'll even go so far as to ask you to send them a picture of your driver's license in order for you to prove that you are you. Now, obviously, I always joke, like, I have like 2,200 something people on my friends list on Facebook. I'm pretty sure at least a third of those are sock accounts of my other friends.
Well, they have backups because people get kicked off of Facebook so often.
Yes, but the problem is
free speech.
Those are the accounts that get used for the admin roles on these pages. So all Facebook had to do is go after a couple of these fake, quote unquote, fake accounts, and it could take down all of these pages at once. And when I saw the lists come out, the biggest list I saw was from a couple of friends of mine who I happen to know are admins on like all of these pages. And every one of them uses either a sock account to admin these pages.
Explain or they use sock account. People might not know.
A sock account is usually some, like instead of just a backup account. Yeah, sock puppet. So you use a fake name, often a fake picture. If you really want to get deep into it, you use a fake identity and you convince people that you were actually somebody else. And then you do a bit of internet trolling, you know, start picking fights with people.
Picking fights with yourself, and then your real account like defeats the fake account that's being contrary.
Really want to get deep into that, that's like the meta use of the sock accounts
or schizophrenic,
or you're just a really good troll
or bipolar or the opposite, where you know I remember Chris Cantwell used to do this a lot. I was positive it was him. I mean, he did have his people defending him, but he also, like, there was one account, I forget the name of it, but like anytime anybody said anything negative about Chris Cantwell, there was this one account that would jump on, and it was the same name on like everything. It was on Disgust.com, Facebook, Twitter. It was like this other guy would come on within seconds, if not minutes, if not seconds, and be like, Chris Cantwell is a man of high moral standing. How dare you say that, you know, and he always said like, and who are you? I've never heard of you, which is a classic troll, you know, and it's used there's got to be a name for that fallacy. You know, I mean, somebody can have 200,000 followers and somebody else will literally not have heard of them, actually not have heard of them because they're not in the same pond, you know, and they'll be like, oh, I've never heard of you. That's a classic Stefan Molyneux fan one. I think he teaches that in his secret, inner circles.
It's some variation of the appeal to popularity, but I don't know exactly what it is. But yeah, it's...
appeal to herd of you, yeah. My dad's never heard of Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys, but you couldn't say that, you know, Dead Kennedys are nobodies. Well, I guess they might be now, but yeah. I don't know. I can't even find a current example that's less than 30 years old because, you know, ask your kids. They're 7. Who do they listen to?
I have no... Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
They're good like that.
So let's read the obituary. Let's read the list of... a partial list of the slaughter... of 18. Free Thought Project, 3.1 million fans.
Which a number of my friends who use fake accounts, fake names and or sock accounts are the main admins of.
Yeah. Well, it also had a lot of crossover with and one of them's a freedom fiend sometimes.
This is true. He's one of them. And,
I'm not going to say his name, but recovered from cancer. Yeah. Used to be a raver. Yeah. Has a pug. Yeah. But Free Thought Project was kind of, I think that was, see, I don't think anything should be removed. I don't think that I will speak for you. We don't think that Facebook should be deciding what's real news, what's fake news, etc. But the Free Thought Project really didn't. They didn't check their sources, man.
Definitely pushed the boundaries. I mean, they used to be really good. And like I said, I have a number of friends who have written for them and continue to write for them. I know people connected to the people who originally started it too. So like, it's, you know, they like so many other pages went after the clickbaity titles after a while, where they were just more interested in getting views and getting people to their site, and the ads on their site were insane, that's how they were generating revenue, and it became like so many other sites, just a mess of stuff to get through you'd find a kernel of truth in their stories. But yeah, like you said, they weren't exactly checking their sources. Now, some of the people that wrote there, like I said, they're friends of mine. I know they actually did as much research as they could, but other pieces were just getting thrown up there. And yeah, but so it could definitely fall under fake news, I guess, just as like any of the other mainstream media could. But like I was saying before, I really think this particular purge had more to do with particular personal accounts.
I don't.
Not necessarily.
I have another,
these pages, and I, well,
I have an alternate theory.
Go ahead.
What's your theory? I mean, the article in USA Today, it's either the USA Today one or the LA Times one, like, had a statement from Facebook, and it said that it was people who were using spam techniques to get people to go to external web pages that they were making money on. That's, I think that's the real point here. That and a political agenda. Basically, people doing what Facebook's business model is through Facebook. You know, I'll bet this. I'll bet anybody who's buying a lot of ads on Facebook who would fit in this purge criteria did not get purged.
That there's a good chance of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who was buying Facebook ads, but I'm sure that played a role in it too. I'm not denying that.
What's Jeff Berwick's page? Sorry, it's still up. He buys ads.
Yeah.
Anarchast. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I don't know. The one link I found between almost pages of the list that kept getting thrown up was, I know people who are admins on pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
You know, some of them I know, like a huge chunk of that list of, what was it, 600 to 800, or I think it got pared down to 500. I don't remember what it was. Like my former co-host on the Seeds of Liberty, Danilo Cuellar, who is... number one is one of the least offensive people you will meet in our community. He's like Mr. Nice Guy. Everybody loves him because he's just, you know, he's so soft spoken, and he's not an aggressive troll like the rest of us are. But his page went down. But he doesn't have, like, it has nothing to post links to his Steemit and his personal page where he posts his podcast, but he doesn't charge for any of that. So he doesn't fit the criteria of this economic thing that Facebook's claiming. He has a number of people I know who are connected to a lot of these other pages who use fake names and or sock accounts.
Occupy,
and
like I said, Democrats is still up. They do that. But I'll bet they buy ads. They have 7.5 million likes. I'll bet they buy ads.
I'm sure they do.
Industry.
And like you said, I'm sure that plays a role in it too. I'm sure all of these things. I don't think it was as directed at libertarians and anarchists as a lot of libertarians.
Well, they took
down, anarchists want to scream.
They took anarchists just want to scream. Did you say?
No, I said I don't think it's as targeted as a lot of libertarians and anarchists are currently screaming about. Going, oh
hey,
my god, it was directed at us.
Check your email. I sent you. Will you read the list? I'll play taps while you do.
Sure, I have to do it on my phone because I can't use
fine.
My second laptop currently.
Occupy Democrats is still up. Democratic Party unofficial page is still up. The Young Turks are still up. I think they did take down a couple Antifa pages, but they were Antifa page. I predicted this, and then I saw it in the LA Times. They took down some Antifa pages that were threatening violence. So, to be a leftist and get taken down, you have to be threatening violence. And to be, if you're a libertarian or a conservative, you just have to be. Well, here's the thing, too. Facebook is giving conflicting reasons because, and this happens a lot with a big, big, huge corporation where they, you know, one newspaper calls up and gets one person and one calls another person and they get a different story of the many agendas that are going on or the several agendas. And one of the Facebook sources that the LA Times had said that it was about spam and about making money, which is weird because that used to be something Facebook encouraged you to do when they were trying to build their numbers, you know, and people say, oh, well, it's a private organ. I'm so sick of libertarians saying, well, it's a private company. They can do what they want. I kind of think at this point that things like Facebook and Google are sort of part of the government because they're so entrenched with the government. They're so regulated. Plus they're so willing to just throw open their legs and pollute themselves with glee to do not what Trump wants, but you know, what Nancy Pelosi wants. Here's the irony too, is, you know, the Republicans took, well, Congress called Zuckerberg in and said, stand before me and kneel. And he didn't really, he just did a big kind of con job as far as I'm looking at it. You know, he said one thing and did another thing. And in a way, I think the Republicans kind of asked for this because they said, you know, you need to make sure that you can't, that Facebook can't be used to swing an election, which is kind of funny because, you know, the Democrats' theory is that the Russians used Facebook to get Trump elected. But then the Republicans went in and said, you can't let the Russians influence. I don't think the Republicans, most of them like Trump. But that's the other thing is some other source, I think it was USA Today, some other big source said that they called Facebook and Facebook said this was, you know, the main reason for this was about stopping, you know, meddling in the upcoming elections. So who knows? Who knows what the truth is? I just know that there's a bunch of pages that I think by, that I'm pretty sure I've seen ads from that are still up that are big and kind of spammy. The Young Turks are very spammy, you know? Also, another thing that's kind of funny about using fake names is Facebook has a policy of they will allow you to do to use a fake name if you write them and tell them that you're transsexual.
Interesting.
But they won't, you know, like you're like, oh, I'm in fear of getting beaten up if people realize that I'm lying.
Okay.
They won't do that for political activists. Like people in countries like Turkey and Iran, where you can get arrested or killed for criticizing the government, like those people have probably more reason to do it than trans people. I would say a more noble reason too. I have no problem with someone playing dress up or even identifying as another gender. I just have a problem with being forced by law or society to honor it. Like it's actually hate speech in some other countries for to do what's called dead naming, which is you know, for instance, who's the Olympian who now identifies as a woman?
Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
What's it go by now? I forget.
What I just did would be dead naming, and that's illegal in Canada. That's hate speech in some other countries. You know, who's the synthesizer pioneer? Wendy Carlos, who used to be Walter Carlos, who basically did the first like record completely with a synthesizer. It was called Switched on Bach. It's a great record. It was made in 69. And I had it in like 75, you know, when I was 11, got it at the library, loved it. And it's one of the reasons I play synthesizer now. So yeah, man. Yep. But,
Yeah.
So that's another thing too, is, leading a lot of this. We haven't even talked about what happened with Google. Breitbart, which is not, you know, which is one of the pages that got taken down by Facebook. I think a lot of it's competition. Like they don't want to help build companies that are direct competition. And things like Breitbart really are, because Facebook doesn't want you to, at this point, they're kind of getting like Apple, where they don't want you to leave their walled garden. Like Apple is doing things, for instance, like making it difficult or impossible for non-Apple shops to repair Apple computers and phones, like doing things like using special screwdrivers that they own the patent on, gluing batteries in with something that only they have the solvent to remove the batteries, where you break it if you try to replace it. That's called a walled garden. And Facebook started out very free and open until we meaning the world, all built up their stock and their numbers, and then they showed their true colors and brought in their agendas. And their agenda is basically they want to be the internet. And remember, like, that's how AOL was back in the day. Like, in AOL, when it first happened, like, it was before the World Wide Web. And then the World Wide Web came around, and other people got, like you could not email outside of AOL at first. Did you know that?
I vaguely remember. I mean, I was there pretty much at the start. Like, what was that, 95, 96 was when
that
AOL
was not
really
the start.
Started
AOL started in like 89, like before the web. They were a news group and email site.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wasn't even there.
The web started there in 94.
I guess 93.
Yeah.
I got 93 and 94, whenever the web started.
I had a website in 96, and I actually had DSL in 97, which was really rare. You had to live in like one of four cities. San Francisco was one of them, and you had to live within 1,000 feet of a telephone company building. And I happened to, because that's how far DSL could work over the copper phone wires back then. But yeah, so Google, there was a leaked internal memo of a Google memo leaked to specifically to Breitbart by a Google employee or maybe a hacker. I don't know. That basically is their, you know, 80-page agenda on squashing free speech and talking about, like, in really like 1984-ish, actually more like Brave New World terms of, you know, like, well, you know, the American tradition of free speech doesn't really apply with today's open internet. So we have to be good netizens and, you know, gently guide the conversation. And, you know, Google won't completely keep a site they don't like from showing up, but they'll push it down in the results. You know, they're not a full Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention, admins on the sites that were deleted can still see the sites. We totally got shadow banned. Like, I'm logged in right now and I'm looking at, you know, at punk rock libertarians.
Because the site hasn't been deleted, unpublished.
You just can't find it.
Because you can unpublish your own page at any time if you choose to, if you want to take it down for maintenance or something, and then you republish it again.
No,
so when they use the
terminology,
yes.
Oh, you mean temporary?
Yeah. You, like I was saying, you can use that same mechanism yourself. So when they unpublish a page, yeah, nobody else can see it other than people who have access to it to begin with, which are just the admins.
That's a theory I have of they might come back after the election, and this is just to show their power.
Wishful
thinking, but
I asked my buddy Danilo, who I saw he just responded to me on Telegram. I asked him to test a theory with his page for me to see if he removes all the other admins that are, you know, using these fake or sock accounts like I was talking about earlier, and he just leaves himself, who, if they ask him to verify, he can, because he uses his real name on Facebook. Then they should republish his page almost immediately. I'd like to see if that happens.
Huh. I'm going to write Matt from Punk Rock Libertarians and suggest that.
Yeah, Matt, I think that Matt uses his real name, right? So Matt could probably do the same thing if he removes everybody just temporarily. He could bring them back at a later, you know, you could re-add admins at any point. Just see if that works. And then, you know, you're going to have to request through Facebook that, because they say, you know, if you think this was done in error, contact us. And they may ask him to verify his name if he's the lead admin, and then see if they bring it back up.
Yeah.
I mean, you may be right too, though. They may just, you know, drag their feet until after the election, and then that theory will have a lot more credence to it. All these things are definitely possibilities, and I wouldn't put any of them past Facebook, because we've seen them do this stuff before in the past. You know, I've been around the libertarian anarchist circles and using social media to connect long enough now, like 5 or 6 years, to see all this stuff happen in cycles over and over and over again. And we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, so with this thing with Breitbart, like, part of the things in this document, and Google has not denied this yet. I think this is a real document. It's been shared everywhere, and Google hasn't.
Now, how if fake. You said this at the beginning, I missed that part of it. I forget how old is this? I mean, was this
2 days? 2 days.
Oh, this is the recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and part of what it talks about is the censored internet search engine they're building for China. Do you know about that?
I've heard about that. Yeah. They've agreed to work with China because obviously China gives their citizens a limited access
to
the internet.
Right. Well, China is pressuring Google to, like, fix the internet, not just the internet that gets to China, because people can use VPNs and Tor and things to get to the rest of the internet in China, and that's really common. I have a friend that he's now back in America, but my friend Skip, who is married to a woman from China, who's like the guy that, you know, turned me on to punk rock back in 1982 or whatever. He lived in China, and he said, yeah, I use a VPN. Everyone uses a VPN. And, you know, occasionally you have to change VPNs or change the server on your VPN, which is virtual private network, which is basically a service you pay money for. It's not much. We have one. We should recommend ours right now. Yes, Bola,
yes,
B-O-L-E-H, VPN. Bola VPN. They're reasonably priced, and they allow you to surf as if you're coming from a different country or a different state in your country. And it's really useful for things like that. For instance, you know, if you want to look at it, they're useful for people in, you know, countries where you'll get killed for criticizing the government, too. Although Tor and a VPN are probably better for that, but. Yeah, so the China thing is influencing Google, you know, and I think Google is, it's kind of bizarre too, because one of the co-founders of Google, like, grew up in communist Russia, as a kid. And, you know, says he remembers like his dad taking him to somewhere and seeing something of like that was secret and free speech and the, you know, that we couldn't do publicly. And he, it just hit him like the horror of the censorship of the Soviet Union. That's on Sergey Brin's Wikipedia page. And there's a link to the source for that. It's ironic, isn't it? That someone who like, you know, I'm going to make a free and open internet when it gets so big that they're basically controlling everyone's access to the internet. You know, they kind of become what they hated. And the irony of this, too, is like I'm conversing about this with people on Facebook mostly and, you know, searching things on Google about it, which probably just adds to the, you know, Google has been steadily like lightly shadow banning me for about the past 5 years. And I'm sure my detractors would say, no, you're just not as interesting. But I've actually been doing things that are a lot more interesting and just getting less and less, you know, page views for them. And actually, I'm one of the things I'm really psyched about is that I've been doing a lot with synthesizers and microtonal music. And so I kind of have something to do other than, you know, if I completely get to where I can't talk about anything Liberty related and I'm shut out of all the, you know, out of any reach on the internet. First of all, we still have this radio show. Second of all, you know, I'm doing great stuff with synthesizers and I'm digging it. Like right now I'm working on a VST plugin that will allow you to take any other VST plugin and retune it to a microtonal setting to various scales, which is, does not exist in an easy to use way. There's one that someone made, but it costs $100. There's no demo. There's no, video of it. And it's hard to use. I actually got a review copy of it, tried to use it. And it's like, you can't just import scales. You have to like type in each scale. You have to set each scale and it doesn't work easy. Mine works really easy, but so far it only works on scales less than 12 notes per octave. But I'm probably going to let you talk for an hour at some point, and I'll work on it the rest of the show. That's why I have two computers set up. But, yeah, so, you know, China. Yeah.
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 Well.
Go, baby, go. Tell me your thoughts. Talk.
I was going to say, for China, and who knows, man.
China.
Like I said, this whole thing could be a coordinated effort because I know some of the pages that went down on Facebook, also their Twitter accounts just happened to get suspended at the same time or shortly thereafter.
Oh, let me tell one more thing and then you got the rest of the show. I want to tell how I learned about this purge. So I did not get a note because I'm technically not an admin on that page. I'm an editor.
You're an editor.
Which means I can add content that's seen by everybody who follows the page, but I can't delete the site. Basically, that's what it and I can't change. I can't add editors or remove editors.
You can't hijack the site. By removing all the other admins.
Which has happened. I remember like Derek J was running a site. It was like gay. It was Gay Anarchists or something. Oh, you did that?
I took over not Derek J's, but I took over a page when. Way back in the beginnings of my anarchism is
that's not very nice.
No, it wasn't, but it was a page I had actually helped work to build. It was a big project where actually a lot of my friends, including the aforementioned Dini Lo Cuellar, where I originally met them, we were working together on it was supposed to be a news/debate site, and we were the ones who were opening it up to the anarchist wing because it used to just be a conservative Democrat site, and I became friendly with the guy who ran it and whatchamacallit, and I actually helped build it up to what it was, and then he just turned around and tried to stomp a whole bunch of us out. So I warned him what would happen. I warned him if he kept pushing me exactly what I would do, and he kept pushing me, so I followed through my threats, and I removed all the other admins, and I took over the groups just temporarily. I said I said it at the time, I'll do it for 24 hours and then I'll be gone. And that's all. But if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And he kept doing it. So I followed through and I took over the site for 24 hours. I removed all the admins and then I contacted all the admins in a group message. And I explained to them what was happening. And all but one of them had my back. And I actually did that for two reasons. Number one, to be courteous, because I had nothing against these people. Number two, I was trying to flush out the rat. And that worked too, because the one guy who didn't show up to the message was the one who ran and was feeding stuff back to the original site owner. And so yeah, my mission was accomplished, and I handed the reins back over in less than 24 hours, just like I said I would, and disappeared.
there's something sort of like that in that show, The Wire. Did you ever see The Wire?
I still haven't watched that. It's one of those. One of those shows that everybody. Hey, listen, man, I finally got around to seeing Breaking Bad like last year. After
seen Better Call Saul yet?
Did season four happen already? Because I watched the first three.
I don't know. I'm watching it. I'm watching it current, but I don't know what season it is. I don't know.
Well, there's three seasons of it on Netflix. I've watched all three of those.
Yeah. So there's a thing in there where there's a bunch of drug dealers, you know, and it's like the drug dealer who manages like eight other drug dealers, you know, who manages the street level. This guy's one cut above the street, and he's out on the street a lot. He's, you know, watching his stable of 14-year-old kids dealing drugs in the projects in Baltimore. And somebody's
he's the hands-on managerial.
He's not one of these seagull managers that just flies in once in a while, craps on everything, and leaves. No, he's hands-on. Gotcha. And somebody is working for the police and getting paid to do it. So what his boss, you know, the Mac Daddy, tells him to do is stop paying everybody for a week and see who doesn't ask for an advance. And it works.
Yeah, man, there's always ways to flush people out. Yep.
So here's how the thing came down to me. I did not get a notice because I'm not an admin. I say I'm an admin. I mean, Matt, who started the site, Matt Bergman, has referred to me as an admin. I think his original thing was, hey, do you want to be an admin on the site?
I don't know if I told you. I got to meet Matt.
Yeah.
At Anarchon this year down where I am right now in Virginia.
And when we say anarchist, we're not talking about Antifa. They're the bad guys. We're the good guys.
Yes.
We're the, you know, when Republicans say they want government so small they can drown it in a bathtub, which is a really kind of creepy saying. It's kind of like, you know, you want it the size of a baby so you can drown it in a bathtub. But I like that saying. I like the guy who said that actually, what's his name?
I don't remember who.
Yeah, he's somebody. Well, he's the guy that got all the Republicans to sign a pledge for no new taxes just to see who'd break it all, you know, back when the Tea Party was a thing a few years ago. But he retweeted a thing where I said that I was quoting Davi, where I said that, Davi's thing was, I want government so small it's theorized about by particle physicists.
Which is the greatest, like, I've tried to top that one since. It's impossible. That was like the greatest.
I think I may have topped it or at least matched it. And this is the one that guy retweeted was, I'm so small government, I make Ron Paul look like FDR. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he liked it. So what happened was on Punk Rock Libertarians, I usually set things up like a month ahead of time to post. You know, I would collect memes and then I'd sit down because it was easier to do that, you know.
Yeah, sit down in one sitting and schedule them all. Yeah, I used to do that for my page.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm the only one that did that. Like a couple other people would schedule for tomorrow or maybe the day after tomorrow, but pretty much everyone just scheduled for today. Because part of working the algorithm to get a site that big is basically having posts at exact times every day.
At least once an hour, you really have to stay on top of it.
Which is pretty much, I don't know if it was once an hour, but there were like seven or eight, well, there were like 12 editors, but like six or seven of them were active every day. And I think it was more like one every 2 or 3 hours, maybe. I don't know.
That's possible. That's what we used to do, two or three. But going back to the conversation earlier, the people I know that were involved in like all of these pages that just happened to go down at the same time, I used to talk to them about how they beat the algorithm.
How do you
originally.
Do it? How do you do it?
And that's pretty much what it was. It was just like you have to find enough content that you have to be consistent and you have to keep getting it out there, and eventually you will break through the algorithms. And you know, a couple of my friends, they were the ones who would sit there, and every time the algorithms would change, they would be the ones who would spend the next like 3 or 4 days trying to figure out how to beat the new system, and then they would pass the information out and people would continue doing it, which is why these pages did continue to keep growing.
So I logged on to the World Wide Web. I went to post the Breitbart link to the Google leak, and I was, you know, this is like, I don't know, noonish yesterday, 11 a.m. maybe Wyoming time, and I was posting it for 5:30 my time, which is my slot, 7:30 p.m. You know, I was the new guy, so I start in the not as great slot and only one. Some of the other people, I think, had two slots a day. But I was posting it, and I got this error. I actually took a screenshot of this that said something like, oh, before this, I tried to post it, and then I got logged out of Facebook. Oh, this is another thing. Facebook tends to log people out and demand they confirm their identity with their phone or with a picture if they share an email address. Did you know that? Like if you share an email address on your page to somebody?
I wasn't aware of that, but
it's
I
new.
Have seen.
It's new.
I knew they logged people out for whatchamacallit.
What?
Anytime pages get taken down like that, I know that happens.
Yeah.
People get bounced out all the
yep.
time.
Well, I got logged out, and it said, you've been doing unusual, there's been unusual activity on your site. We need to, and I'm thinking like, what did I do? It didn't even click to me. And then it clicked to me. I was like, oh, because then so they said there's been unusual activity. Basically, they said it looked like somebody had taken over my site. Or my account, you know, they didn't say that. They said, there's been unusual activity on your account today. We want to make sure, we need to verify your identity to confirm that you are you in our ongoing attempt to prevent, people from making accounts and using them for spam. And I thought that meant, you know, okay, they think somebody logged in as me. But what they meant was, we think what you're doing is spammy. And they said, I had to upload a picture. And I'm like, is this a scam? Like, I checked really carefully to make sure it was actually the right URL and really Facebook. And yeah, it was. So I uploaded like an old picture of me where I was a lot thinner just to see what would happen. You know, it didn't look the same. I didn't look like I do now. And in about a half an hour, I was back on. They said that they'd email me and let me know. They never emailed me. But in about a half hour or 45 minutes, I could log back in. You know, I checked every 20 minutes, 10 minutes or something. Every 30 seconds, let me. You know that they have psychiatrists on staff. Do you know about that? Facebook does.
Ooh,
probably.
Facebook?
Yeah, to like, you know, help you figure out how to like take advantage of people's brains, which is something that, do you ever see the show Mad Men?
It's another one I never watched.
Okay. It's not as great as people say it is, but there's a scene in there where the ad firm, you know, the 60s misogynistic, hard drinking, hard smoking, ad firm hires a psychiatrist or psychologist. And it's a German woman who's like, you know, seems like they got her out of Operation Paperclip. She seems kind of Nazi, you know. she's an authoritarian, and she's German, and she's old. So she probably would have been a Nazi. I think that's the implication. But, you know, she teaches them how to, like, take advantage of people's wants and fears and desires better, which is, you know, so this is nothing new. And it probably goes back to, what is it, talk therapy was invented by the Soviets to get information out of people to see if they were against the state.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I've heard. So, yeah, so I logged back in, and I tried to post it again, and I was able to schedule it, and then I refreshed the page, and it was gone. And I did that two or three times, and then I tried posting something innocuous. You know, I posted, I don't know, picture of a puppy or something, and it did the same thing. Like, I could no longer schedule something. And I've had issues before with scheduling things on there where there's a database issue where that's happened, but not as consistently. I tried it four or five times, and it happened every time. So yeah. then I waited about an hour, and I started hearing things about what was going on, that people were losing their sites. And then I tried to post it. I tried to schedule it again, and it was just gone. What did it do? It said, you're trying to do something that's, you've been prevented from doing this. If you think this is not against our terms of service or no community standards, talk about yes. 1984. If you think this is not against our community standards, click here. And I've tried before to appeal things. It was, I made a meme one time making fun of Chris Cantwell for being a Nazi before he came out and said he was what, a Nazi. White, not a Nazi, like
I'm just, I know, I'm
some,
just
something everyone would say is a Nazi, white power, white supremacist. I don't know what his, you know, particular kink is, but
white nationalist.
I think that's it. Yeah. You know, it was a picture of Hitler Sig Heiling, and I put Cantwell's head on it and said, had some clever, what I thought was a clever saying. And I'm pretty sure Cantwell reported it as Nazi to get it taken down. You know, somebody did. Like, and I appealed it and I said, that's not Nazi, that's making fun of Nazis. And they had none of it. They were having none of it. Oh. Facebook was, you know, it's funny too. A lot of the people that actually review stuff, like when someone reports something, a lot of the people in Facebook who report things are like little old ladies or women, especially older women in the Philippines. Do you know about this? There was an article in Wired magazine about it. And it said like,
The
name of the article was like, you know, how an army of women in the Philippines keep you from seeing beheadings and penis pictures. And the picture was like this office, you know, with this cube farm, a bunch of cubicles with women, all women sitting in the cubicles, daytime. You can see out the window, big plate glass windows. They're on like the fifth floor or something. And you can see all these palm trees. Like it's obviously somewhere tropical, but it's the Philippines. And the woman that you can see best is sitting at her computer with her head in her hands, with her head down, like, not more beheadings and penis pics, please. And the reason they use the Philippines is because English is a common language spoken there. You know, yes. Spanish mainly, but it's English is a very common second language. And it's a very prudish country. They're very Catholic and they're very prudish. Although apparently, you know, 8-year-old prostitutes is a big problem there. But you know, in theory, they're prudish, maybe not in practice. You know, there's a lot of 12-year-old street walkers, but, you know, they can't do anything about that, but they'll happily, you know, keep you from sharing a picture making fun of Nazis. Yeah, so they picked, and it's like a third worldish country, so they don't have to pay them much. So, you know, for 40 cents an hour, they could get these prudish women who will tend towards over-censoring, not under-censoring. And that's Facebook stated, like, they've stated that as a goal, like, 5 years ago, before this got worse. So, yeah. So then, that's what happened. Oh, do you want to read the list of victims in the Purge?
Oh, yeah. Well, the list, it only has numbers for some of them on that list that you sent me. But this is, you know, this is probably the most common list I've seen thrown around because it has some pretty big numbers on there. Although, again, you do have to take into account that a lot of these pages share a lot of the same fans. So it's not like they individually have millions of followers.
I think it's really five people that admin and are all of the followers. Sock puppets.
Yeah, that's possible.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
you mentioned kidding. It before. The Free Thought Project was the first because they had, I think, 3.1 million followers. On Facebook.
Yeah.
And then there's the anti-media, which I know the people who started that one too. I've interviewed a lot of them.
Why do you hate people? Why do you hate freedom?
Yeah, they had like 2.1 million. Police, 1.9 million. Now, again, those first three with all at basically 2 million or more followers each, all three of those are. I know a number of people who admin all three of those pages, and they fall into the category I was describing earlier. Same thing with the following pages that don't, like all the police, anti-police pages, like Cop Lock, Filming Cops, Policing the Police, Cop Logic, all of those pages. A friend of mine does all of those. He created actually most of them. This Rachel Blevins site, this one kept coming up in people's lists. I've never even heard of this one. I don't know who Rachel Blevins is.
I think she's a she's one of those libertarians that is basically paraphrasing everything Mises ever said, but she's cute, so she's got a lot of, there's a lot of those. All right, there's six or seven
again,
of those.
But if I keep running down this list, and the drug war, V is for voluntary, legalizing cannabis, hemp, and the war on drugs. Yeah, the first 10 or so on this list, every single one of them I know the admins.
Well, keep in mind too that this list was compiled by a libertarian.
I know,
so I'm talking to the audience. I know you know that. Oh, okay. But remember, there's other people listening.
Oh yeah. Well, that's why I was saying before that I, as much as I want to believe that we are people like us are making enough noise that we are becoming an issue for the establishment,
we are.
I think the I think the more Occam's razor reasoning here is not necessarily that it was just libertarians and and anarchists that were targeted. Like I said, a lot of anarchists are running around screaming this today, and I just don't really think it's the case. I think it just happens to be.
I think it's money. I think it's more money than spam.
Money is definitely.
I have evidence of that too. Was our good friend Virgil Viduva, who makes Cell 411, which you should check out. It's good. Yep. Dig it.
Yes.
Yes. Check it out. Cell 411. It allows you to, yeah, it allows you to, report. Oh, do you tell them? You tell them. I did it last time.
Oh, well, it's been a while. But
they're they're not still an advertiser, but
no, that's right.
We like them so much. We'll do it. Go ahead.
And I used it on my way down here to Virginia. But yeah. it's a great app, which allows you to contact friends and family members instead of the monopolized government services for a myriad of reasons, from anywhere from your car breaking down to you being harassed
by the police or Antifa. Well,
Yeah.
So Cell 411.
But you repeat yourself. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Get Cell411.com.
Or Antifa. The police or a gang. I would repeat myself. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he got. About 3 years ago, he got kicked off of Facebook for a week or something. You know, your first one's a day, your second one's a week. And it was for sharing something politically incorrect. I forget what it was, but he was buying like, you know, $500 a week worth of ads at the time on Facebook. And he wrote Facebook and said, I'm going to pull all my ads if you don't reinstate me. And they reinstated his account within the hour.
I'm sure they did. And,
yeah.
You know, that's why when you said earlier that, you know, you were checking different pages and ones that you know buy Facebook ads. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not, you know, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it, too. That's why a lot of these other pages were protected. You know, I don't know. Like I said, from my perspective, I just see this one common link running through all of these pages.
Your friends who use fake
news. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it could just be a coincidence. It just, I don't know, seems a little more likely
than
some of the other scenarios I've been hearing tossed around. But yeah, the economics definitely play a role in it, you know. And like you said, Virgil had to fight for it the first time. Now they're probably, more people probably complained about the same thing. So now they're just, now Facebook actually maybe looks this time and actually goes, oh, wait a minute, we can't delete this guy. He pays us money. All right, we'll just skip that one.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be willing to bet that there's like a, you know, thing that comes up on the moderator screen of, you know, what's the term? I'm a quality client. No, there's a term for it. I'll find it. Yeah.
Sure.
I am that on somebody's site. So DistroKid. I am that.
You're a preferred customer.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there you go.
What a preferred customer. Yeah. Yep. Priority account. That's what it says when I
log in. There you go.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I get tech support really quick. I mean, DistroKid's pretty quick with it, but yeah, I get it really. Yeah, I talk them up, and I've done great things with them and for them. Yep, they're good too. Check out DistroKid if you're in a band. It's how you get your stuff on all the sites that haven't taken you down yet, like Amazon and Google Play and iTunes and Spotify for like $40 a year. You just get on all of them. Yep, it's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. Any hoodle.
So tell me more. What are you
tell
doing in Virginia?
Oh. Well, I'm in Virginia. Yeah. Oh.
Tell me about your life. Let's catch up with you. Oh. Are you done with the man? You got more on the man?
Yeah. No. I think we covered this.
I could do more if you want to do more, but.
I've said pretty much all I have to say.
Like, tell me about your life, man.
Well, let's see. Since I last did a show, Randy and I did one, what, last month, I guess? I'd finally finished up all my court stuff and whatever. But, yeah, I'm in Virginia right now. I'm back in the pet sitting game, kind of, sort of. And may actually be doing that a little more often, hopefully. But a friend of mine asked if I would be willing to come down to her place and watch her dogs while her and her family went on vacation. And I said yes originally, and so now here we are. Although it's been quite a ride since Murder Dog and I were last recording with Randy, because unfortunately I finally got the court stuff taken care of. I still have to do my community service. I did get my anger management done last weekend. That was a whole big mess. But unfortunately, since I recorded last, we've had a lot of bad luck with Murder Dog.
Yeah.
She fell at the park when we were playing with the kids a few weeks back. Took a pretty nasty spill because she made a jump that she probably shouldn't have, but with her old eyes and a little weak leg. She misjudged things and ended up needing emergency surgery to remove her spleen. And while they were in there, they found out that she has cancer on top of all that. They found what remained of a tumor of the I always pronounce it wrong.
Hippocampus.
Hemangiosarcoma. I always pronounce it wrong. But anyway, it's pretty much one of the worst cancers that they find in dogs. And so that hit me pretty hard. I was a mess for a while. She has since luckily recovered from the surgery and actually recovered even quicker than the doctors, the vets thought. But since then, we've had to go talk to the oncologist, obviously. Had to make some decisions about what we're going to do, because with this particular type of cancer, the prognosis isn't very good. Lifespan after this is usually not very good. And so whatchamacallit. We did, though. We managed to find a clinical trial for an herbal supplement, which the oncologist had actually recommended, because I had mentioned originally that I was kind of skeptical about the whole chemo thing and that I was interested in at least exploring the possibility of other, more natural possible, not necessarily remedies, but things to help at least slow things down a bit, because, a lot of people have reported good results with CBD oil. And he pointed me in the direction of this mushroom extract. I think it's from what they call the turkey tail mushroom.
Huh.
That's one of those Chinese herbs. They've been using it for centuries for a bunch of different things. But apparently, they found, at least in the past decade or so, they started to find that this one particular chemical that's I guess produced from it or whatever, or at least when you create an extract from it, actually has cancer fighting properties. And the University of Pennsylvania, which houses one of the top veterinary schools in the world, has been doing a lot of research on this for the past, 6 or 7 years. And so after the oncologist gave me the information about this stuff, I went back to Murder Dog and I went back to the element, because she was allowed to leave the hospital because she was in good enough condition. And I started doing more research, and I ended up I was looking for ways how I could afford all this stuff, because while using this particular supplement would be cheaper than the other chemo options, still pretty pricey. It's like $100 a bottle, and the bottle will last you like 10 days. But I was doing more research on it, and I found out that the clinical trials are actually still open. So I went and contacted them, and Murder Dog and I actually met with them a couple of days ago, and we're going to get her into the trials for this new herbal supplement that seems to be having a lot of good positive effects. The first clinical trial they ran on it 6 years ago had like pretty amazing results in the very small sample size that they tried it on. So yeah, I'm trying to stay positive. Not really, I'm not expecting any miracles or anything like that. But the way I look at it right now is, even if this doesn't help her in any significant way, hopefully it'll help other dogs in the future, which is why I was willing to put her in this trial.
Yeah.
So, nice. Like I said, the University of Pennsylvania is one of the biggest vet schools in the world, and they do a lot of good research, and they seem to be trying really hard to find a way to stop having to use chemotherapy and stuff like that on animals. So I'm all for pushing in a more, if it works, obviously. I'm not somebody who's just like, got to use natural remedies all the time.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm not anti-Western medicine. I've definitely seen the positive effects of certain, what people may call homeopathic remedies, but not homeopathic. What's the proper term for that?
What's the scammy one where you use like?
I thought that was homeopathic.
One. Yeah, that's always scammy. That's always scammy.
Well, that's why I said what people would call that, because some of these things aren't. They get lumped into that.
Yeah.
But just more natural remedies, like or at least not straight up remedies, but at least aid, supplements and aids and stuff like that. I've personally seen the positive results of some of these things, but I'm not one of those people that'll say, oh no, this is the only way. Definitely.
Me too.
Western medicine has helped extend the lives of human beings by a long, long, long way. You can't really discount that. But anyway, so that's where we're at with that right now. But right now she's doing great. And the vets, both oncologists she's now met with, pretty much every doctor she's come in contact with since she first went into the hospital is like pretty amazed with her progress, and she definitely seems to be doing really well. And you know, we're just gonna take it day by day. But it's yeah, that's been our journey down here, and now we're here. We're gonna be hanging out with a bunch of other dogs, like I said, doing the pet sitting thing again. So it's me and four dogs in this nice house out down here in Virginia for like a week and a half, while my friends are off in the Caribbean somewhere with their family. And then when Murder Dog and I leave here, after they get back, we're headed right back to the University of Pennsylvania for her first treatment. And then we're going to have to go back there to, you know, the one thing about the trial is that we're going to have to go back there once a week for, I think, 10 weeks total, because we already did the first week. So, yeah, 10 more weeks total. So we're not going to be able to travel as far as we had been. You know, because we've done things like go all the way out to South Dakota since we've been on the road. But we're going to have to stay in the Northeast-ish probably for the next 3 months so we can make sure we get back for all of our appointments.
Yeah.
And obviously, so we stay close enough to see the kids too.
Is it double blind? I mean, is there a chance that it's placebo or?
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. Well, she's getting, unfortunately, the one thing I was skeptical at first was, you know, getting her chemotherapy at all. She's definitely going to be getting chemotherapy, but there is a chance that she's going to be getting a placebo of this particular supplement. But, you know, I could pull out of the study at any time. If she has a negative, you know, a really negative response to the first treatment, I could pull her out right away, and then I could just put her on these supplements on my own. Because you can, like I said, you can purchase them right now. They're just studying it further to see if it's something they want to personally recommend people try instead of chemo. So, you know, I could still do all that. I just, yeah. You know, like I said, because of the nature of this particular cancer, because there's not a very, you know, high lifespan afterwards anyway, if I can help some other dogs along the way, you know, why the heck not, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not going to add what I would do if this were one of my cats, because you won't like it and the audience wouldn't like it.
Really? Oh, okay.
Well, I'd have it put down.
Right away?
If I had a cat with cancer, I'd have it put down. Yeah, right away. Mm. Yeah. Also, probably if I had a cat that needed spleen surgery, I'd probably have it put down. That sounds incredibly cruel, but it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis that doesn't just include money. It includes that I'm not in great health and, you know, I have to take care of myself, and a lot of
absolutely.
Extra work with an animal is a problem. But more than that, I really think, and I'm not judging you at all. And I, you know, I think dogs bond with people more than cats. Cats are kind of like, yeah, screw you. I'm going to sit across the room till you feed me. And if I want to be petted, I'll come over. Whereas, you know, like dogs will rush into a burning building to save you. Cats will, you know, their house catches on fire. They'll walk across the street to the other house where they'll get fed. you know, there are a lot of cats that want to get adopted, that need to get adopted, a lot more than dogs, actually, which may be a factor if they put dogs down because they're bigger and harder to take care of or something. I don't know. Cats, they just throw them all in a room in little cages and feed them a little bit. Like the shelters I've been to, like the dogs have more room probably because they need more room, which probably means they can't have as many dogs. You know, they'll have like the one here in Casper, they'll have like 20 dogs and they have like 100 cats at any given time. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sound, I mean, I am what I am. If people think this is cold, I'm the best cat dad in the world, you know, until the cats are really sick.
I was going to say, as long as they're healthy.
As long as they're not a problem. No, I mean, we had a cat that we had put down that was very dear to us that had what was probably a brain infection. It was, you know, it had a, and we've learned our lesson from this. It's like you get the cat's teeth taken care of, but it had a rotten tooth that we didn't get taken care of. And we definitely would never do this again. And we've had cats get dental work done since then. But it was really heartbreaking. It all of a sudden like was crapping everywhere and looked totally ashamed. Like, I'm so sorry I'm crapping everywhere. I can't believe I'm doing this. Please forgive me. It would be doing that while it's crapping on the sofa. It had never done anything like that. He had never done anything like that, and he just suddenly got really cold and sickly and thin and couldn't eat, and the vet had no idea. And it's a really good vet that has done a lot for us, and he was like, well, you know, we could do $1,200 worth of tests, but I think we're going to find that either this isn't something that can be helped, or it's going to be something that's going to cost you $5,000 to fix, you know, and, yeah. and, or require, you know, constant maintenance basically. And that's another thing. DJ had a cat put down years ago that was diabetic. She was just like, me and the cat aren't going to like sticking the cat with a needle every day, because that's what it would have needed, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's always I mean, you know, like you said, to some people it may sound cold, but the reality is there's always a cost benefit analysis involved. Well, in pretty much everything you do in life,
that's true.
In the specific instance, yeah. There is, you know, and I freaked out over the original surgery, you know, and I talked it over with Jen, because obviously the money I have is designed to keep Murder Dog and I alive, but it's also geared for my
kids. Yeah.
So we talked it over, and she was like, we do the surgery, and then there wasn't a question for her, because it's, you know, the kids love the dog, she loves the dog, I love the dog, obviously.
How long have you had the dog? Just, you've had it a lot longer than we've had this.
Murder Dog is, she's 11 now, so I've had her for almost 11 years now, because she was 4 months old when she came to live with me. It was just before Thanksgiving, 11 years ago. So we've been together almost 11 years, and it was just such a freak thing that she just fell and the spleen ruptured. Obviously when it came to spending money for, you know, the treatment afterwards, that's where it became an issue. And that's another reason I kind of jumped on this clinical trial study, because, well, we don't have to pay for it. So, you know, when that opportunity arose, it's like, all right, well, maybe we could try extending her life this way. But, you know, I get it, man. I had to consider all this. You know, if I didn't still have the money from just selling my house 4 months ago, there's a chance I may not have been able to afford the surgery in the first place. You know, I had the money. It's going to hurt down the road, but I had to change, I had to shift gears since then. I've had to change while I was taking it easy for a while. Now I've had to switch things up, and now I'm trying to get work more, a lot more quickly than I was planning to, you know? So I'll find another way to make it work. It's all right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely not saying anything about you, and I understand why
you're
going
I get it.
Above and beyond. We had another cat we had put down who was 18 and was starting to be just not having a good quality of life, you know.
Well, that's understandable too, you know. Yep. Quality of life is the whole thing. That's why I asked originally when you said you'd have them put down. I'm like, right away. Well, as long as they're still doing okay, you let them.
Yeah.
But once they start suffering, right. And exactly.
Yeah. I don't know that this cat was necessarily she did have pain. And I'd had this cat since she was 3. It's the longest I've ever owned a pet. It's the longest I've ever had anything, you know. The longest relationship I've ever had, 15 years. I mean, DJ and I just celebrated 10 years married, 11 years together. But this cat, although, you know, DJ, I would not have DJ put down if she got sick. Yeah, I like
people. I'd hope not.
I like people I like more than I like cats I like, and I love cats dearly. But this cat was just, she was sleeping about 22 hours a day. She was walking very tenderly when she was awake. She had trouble getting on the bed, which is low, you know, it's a mattress on top of a box spring. You know, I had to put like a box there so she could use it as a step to climb up on the bed. She just wasn't loving life anymore. And this was a cat, Charlie, the tortie that I had, that was like, she was like a dog. I mean, she used to go for walks with me in LA without a leash at night for miles. I've never seen a cat do that. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I've seen him walk on leashes before, not for miles.
Yep. But without a leash.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, she would just walk, you know, in front of me, behind me, next to me, you know, within 20 feet of me. And then I would like stop somewhere sometimes. I can't believe I used to do this in LA. Like, I used to go sit outside, you know, next to parks or in parks in LA at night. That's dangerous, you know, without a gun. I mean, you're basically betting on that someone won't come up and mess with you. Chances are they won't. But if they do, what are you going to do? There's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But I would go sit, you know, there's a playground about a mile from my house. It was completely empty at night. And I'd go sit on a swing. And Charlie would just sit, you know, 15 feet away from me and ignore me and sit there for a half hour. And then I'd get up to walk and she'd just start walking with me. It was like a dog. It's amazing.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So the thing about the long relay, quote, you know, quote unquote, my first dog, like, you know, that I got on my own after I moved out. And yeah, it's the longest relationship I've ever had, 11 years.
Wow.
So, you know, but again, I understand the other side of it, like you're talking about, because, you know, 6+ years ago, we had to make the same decision about Jen's dog because he ended up getting cancer, came up out of the blue. And we had to consider all these things, and we ended up having to, you know, do it, you know, waited till his quality of life got too bad, and then just unfortunately had to have him put down because he was in too much pain. You know, and there's things we could have tried to do then, but we decided at the time it didn't make sense to put him through more in case, you know, again, with Murder Dog here, it's not costing me anything other than the trips to Philadelphia, which I don't mind doing. But because, you know, on top of everything else, I can get a good Philly cheesesteak while I'm down there, too.
Do you go see Miller?
Oh, he's not.
Hang on a sec.
Yeah, that's.
So Miller? Like I said, that's, did you see Miller while you were in Philly?
No, like I said, I haven't talked to him in a while. I put out a call when I was, you know, whenever I go to a new area, I let people know where I'm headed, you know, the general area I'm headed, and say, hey, if anybody wants to get together, let me know. No, I gave really short notice for the Philly trip, but nobody got back to me. So I said, all right, yeah. Moving on to Virginia. We came down here a couple days early, and now we're going to, my friend, I've been down here since, I think we got here Monday night, and my friends just left this morning, but they're really cool. They've pretty much given me an open invitation here. Anyway, they actually offered as soon as Murder Dog had the surgery, they offered for us to come down here and let her recover. Although I don't know how much recovery she would do. They have three American Bulldogs / English Mastiffs puppies. They're a year old, but they're each like almost 100 pounds. Sweet dogs. They're really sweet, but they're three boys. They're unaltered, so they all have a little extra energy. But they've been really cool about they've been really cool about accepting Murder Dog into their pack and not bothering her too much. She gave a couple of warnings when they got a little too rowdy with her, and they have since backed off. So yeah, everybody's getting along great, and that's where that's where we're gonna be for the next couple of weeks. And it feels good to get back in the pet sitting game. You know, that was the other thing I started to say earlier about the whole. You know, obviously having to make these decisions with, you know, the type of money you need. And, you know, I've seen other people in the past when their animal needs surgery or whatever, they put up a GoFundMe or something. People ask me to do that this time. I actually decided not to.
Yeah, I can see not doing that too. It's kind of I could see doing that. I mean, people do what they do, and I don't really have a moral problem with it, with putting up a thing for that too. But it's kind of like, I kind of feel like to a point... You know, if you're going to have pets, you should be able to afford them. Some people would say, yeah, well, you're the guy who said you didn't want to spend $5,000 on a cat. Yeah, a new cat is $30 and a new and a new cat has no problems. That just sounds so cold, but it's cost benefit analysis, man. And I kind of look at cats as fungible and interchangeable, even though they have their own quirks and personalities. In a way that I don't think people look at dogs, you know, because cats are very loving and cuddly, but cats kind of let you know that they're really mercenary, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on the perspective, or, you know, depends on the experiences too. Because I mean, in general, I would agree with you, but I've also had pretty... I don't know if intense is the right word, but maybe it is. Intense relationships with some of my cats in the past. Where
cats
they definitely...
think we're fungible, though, too. Like, if a cat loses its owner, it will adapt to a new owner a lot quicker than a dog will.
Maybe. But I get what you're saying. But, you know, my point was I opted not to do that this time. And instead, I put out a plea. Like I said, I told people, you know, because some people have insisted on sending me donations anyway. And I really appreciate that. But I said this time around, I would actually prefer if people have work for me to do. Send that
nice,
my way.
Nice.
I'd rather work this off and rather, you know, which, like I said, I'm doing this gig for a friend of mine. And as soon as people found out that I was doing this gig, a bunch of other people started asking me about doing this, and I'm actually considering kind of reviving my business and just changing the business model and doing it from the road from now on. And instead of having a one location where people bring me their dogs to board with them, I'm just going to go back to how I originally started my company, you know, over a dozen years ago. I started by going to people's houses and staying at their house while they went away. And obviously, I could only do that one house at a time versus, you know, boarding multiple dogs in my house, which is why I chose that business model while I was still stationary on Long Island. But now that I'm going to be on the road for a while, because unfortunately, Jen and the kids are still not ready to leave Long Island anytime soon because of the situation with her family. So Murder Dog and I are going to keep traveling for, well, as long as she can travel with me, but I'm going to keep traveling and I'm going to try to do this. I got a friend of mine who offered to do a logo for me for free. So I may be announcing that soon. You know, going back full circle to where we started with the Facebook pages, I'm still going to be there. And hey, there may be a new page coming soon. It'll be totally non-political, but there may be an announcement of that in the next week or so, hopefully. And
nice.
That's where I'm going to try to head. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I don't have a problem if people put things up and ask for money in these type of situations. For me, I felt, just because I had actually personally asked for money last year when things went horribly wrong and I needed money for legal fees and stuff. You know, it's because actually it was early this year when I actually asked. That's right. when the bank kind of screwed me over and everybody was holding up the sale of my house and I was kind of poor. Now, since I already did that once, I want to do it again. I said, hey, you know, send me money if you want. That's great. But send me work. That's better. And, you know, try to do it that way. I don't know. That's about all I got.
Yep. Well, yeah, man. All right.
Been good.
I'm good.
Yeah, man.
I'm good. The
it's
man
been fun
is,
talking to you.
It is. The man is bad. The man's trying to keep us down. Whether it's Zuckerberg or Steve
the
Jobs.
Man. Save the empire.
Steve oh, Jobs wait, from behind the grave. Beyond the grave. What'd you say? Save the empire.
Every time I think of the phrase darn the man, whatever. It's from the movie Empire Records, where it's darn the man, save the empire, because they're trying to save Empire Records.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's what comes into my head every time.
Good movie.
Plus, I just rewatched that a couple days ago too. So one of my favorites. Anyway.
Yep. The bald guy in that movie, the kind of wormy guy that works at the record store. He was on an episode of The Shield where he gets arrested. He's a suspect in murdering a parking attendant. Like, it was some parking attendant lady that gave more tickets than anybody, and someone shot her on the street, and there were no witnesses, but they went and looked at, like, who had the most tickets and called him in to talk to him. And they said, we'd like to do a gunshot residue test to see if you fired a gun today. And the guy agreed and came back positive, and then he admitted, yeah, I killed her. You know, the bee deserved it, he said. And they said, why did you take the test? You weren't under arrest. You could leave. And he said, well, it was a government test. I figured it wouldn't work. We'll leave you on that. All right. Yeah. Good show, man. Worms.
Yeah, man. Worms.
Worms.